They're restarting the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Homer, Hare Alai Mincha Minis Se'orim. Someone says, I'm going to bring a Mincha from Se'orim. There is no such thing as a private Mincha that you can bring from Se'orim. We have Minachot that come from Se'orim, including the Minchat Sota and the Minchat Omer, but these aren't voluntary Minachot that you can bring. So then, Yavi Minachitin. He has to bring from wheat. Kemach, if he says, I'm going to bring a Mincha from Kemach, which is not the case by Minachot. Minachot come from Solet. Yavi mina Solet, he'll have to bring it from the Solet. Below Shemen or below Livona, he's going to bring a Mincha without Shemen and without Livona, which we do have Minachot like that. We have the Minchat Sota, we have the Minchat Choteh, but it's not one of the voluntary Minachot that you can bring. Therefore, Yavi Shemen Livona, he has to bring the Shemen Livona. Chatzi Saron, if he says I'm going to bring a Mincha comprised of a Chatzi Saron, Yavi Isaron Shalem, he has to bring a full Isaron. The minimum shiur for a Mincha is an Isaron. We're going to see in the next Mishnah the maximum shiur is 60 Isaron. But since he pledged to do a Mincha that was less than the minimum amount, we automatically elevate him to the minimum amount, which is an Isaron. Isaron Omechsa, if he says I'm going to bring 1.5 Isaron, Yavi Shnayim, he has to bring 2. Rabbi Shimon Poter, in all of these cases, Rabbi Shimon says, you are Potur, you don't have to bring anything. Lo itnadev, kederach mitnadvim. He didn't take a neder or make a pledge to bring something, that is the normal way to say it. Whatever he said here had some problem with it, and since it has a problem, we assume that the whole thing is null and void, and not just that we wipe out the information that is unnecessary or not feasible, and make him bring the mincha like normal, but rather we wipe it out completely and say he doesn't have to bring anything at all. Amai. Why is the din in the Mishnah true? Neder upitcho imo. It has a neder, and the petach is there. Again, we've seen this earlier on, but the person is, in some senses, expressing their regret to what they said before. So the person who says, Hare alai mincha minis se'orim, then, as Rashi notes, the person is saying, I want to bring a mincha, and I want to bring it from the se'orim. And if I can't bring him in a se'orim, I'm not going to bring it at all. So the explanation of his pledge is built into the pledge itself. And as we saw back on Pei Aleph Amud Bet, that can be expressed in one of two ways. Either the individual knows that you can't bring a Koran Mincha from se'orim. And when he said min se'orim, he's basically retracting the first statement that he said, Hare alai mincha. Or the other way to express it is that he had no idea that you can't bring a mincha from se'orim. And he's saying, I want to bring a mincha from se'orim, but if I can't bring it from se'orim, I have no interest in bringing it whatsoever. Either way, the statement of min se'orim either undermines or retracts the statement of Hare alai mincha. So then why is he bound by that statement? Amar Chizkia, Hamani Beit Shammai. Chizkia says, the authors of our Mishnah are Beit Shammai, de Amrei, because they believe, Tfos Lashon Rishon, that you go after the first part of the statement that the individual makes, and we drop any of the information that comes afterwards that either might be a reversal of the position or irrelevant information. We excise that off, and we just take the first statement that he makes. It's not, we have a Mishnah in Nazir, or any Nazir mina gruga rot, mina dvela. Person says, I want to be a Nazir from the dried figs or the pressed figs. So figs and nazirut have nothing to do with each other. Beit Shammai omrim, nazir. We basically say he said harini nazir, which is tfos lashon rishon. And then we drop the information of mina grugarot to mina dvela. Beit Hillel omrim, enu nazir. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says he's not a nazir. Obviously, Beit Hillel argues on Beit Shammai's position, whether they argue on the tfos lashon rishon, whether they say that af bigmar derav andam nitpas, that a person also is bound by the completion of his statement. That could be one way that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue. Or in the Balei Tosafot, there's a very large Tosafot discussing the different possibilities as to what is the core machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. He suggests here that Beit Shammai hold like Rabbi Meir, that Ein Adam Motzi Dvarav Levadala, person doesn't express anything without having some meaning to it. A person doesn't just willy-nilly make a statement. Therefore, we have to bring meaning to the statement that he makes. And so we have to look at the statement and say, what makes the most sense from it? And Tosafot says that Beit Shammai l'shitatam, that there is no such thing as she'la b'hekdesh, that you're not allowed to back out of hekdesh. There's no concept of hekdesh ta'ud, or this idea that you can get a petach l'neder hekdesh. And similarly, by the case of nizirut, you can't back out of it. So if you say that the person's statement is meaningful, and you say you can't reverse your position once you've made the statement of Hareini Nazir, the combination of those two bind you to have to take the Neder Nizirut or complete the Neder Nizirut, even though you seem to have waffled on that, had backed out of it when you said Mina Grugorot, Mina Nevela. We say that a person's statement has meaning. You can't back out of the statement. So now we have to figure out what it meant. That means Hareini Nazir. And Beit Hillel will argue on that. And they'll hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon over here says that Shaloit Nadev Kederach Mitnadvim. That's not the normal way to do it. Or, even if they don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, they have a view that there is an ability to reverse Hekdesh. Yesh She'ela B'Hekdesh and Yesh She'ela B'Nizirut. And therefore they can back out. The person, Tol Chedei Dibur, can back himself out of his statement or create the Petach or the Charata within the statement that he's making. Now we could look at it as Hareini Nazir, and then he's backing out of it when he says Mina Grugorot or Mina Dveila, and that will be helpful, or that will be meaningful according to Beit Hillel. He says, V'od Yesh Tefaresh, another reasoning that could be behind Beit Shammai holds like the Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says we check what he meant, and if he says that's what I meant, that I wanted to create some sort of neder vis-a-vis the Dveila and the Grugorot, then we make a muster in the Dveila and the Grugorot. And Beit Hillel will argue on that. And they'll hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon over here says that Shaloit Nadev Kederach Mitnadvim, that's not the normal way to do it. That might also explain the position of the Rambam. The Rambam says that when we say over here, Beit Hillel says, if he says, Hareini Nazir Mina Grugorot Mina Dveila, Eino Nazir, the simple way to read it is that the neder is completely meaningless. On the other hand, the Rambam views this as he's not a Nazir, but he is Asur in Grugorot and Dveila. And so that's exactly what the Baal Tosafot are saying. It's possible that Beit Hillel hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And we look at the interpretation of what he was trying to say over here. And if the interpretation is that he wants to Oser, Grugorot, and Dveila, that's exactly what it will do. And then the Baal Tosafot all the way at the end bring another possibility that the Machloket here is based on what the Tosefta says, which is, what is the din with regards to kinuye kinuyim? We have a concept that we discussed, the first Mishnah in the Darim, first Mishnah in the Zirut, about kinuyim, which are some derivative expression that connects to Nizirut, where you use some representative term to indicate that you want to accept Nizirut, or you want to create some sort of nether. And we paskin that kinuyim are a mechanism for creating Nizirut and Nidarim. And over here we're using something that's a kinuye kinuyim, double derivative, which is, it's not directly correlated with the Nizirut or the neder that you're taking, but it does have associations with it. And that is what the Baal Tosafot point out in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, that sometimes the Grugorot are called Tirosh. People call them grapes, or they use the terminology grapes. And so they're not a kinui, but they're a kinui de kinui. They're like a double derivative away from what normally would be. So if you say I'm Nazir from grapes, so that definitely is a type of kinoi or a concept where it's relevant to Nizirut, and we would say you are a Nazir. But here we use Mina Grugorot, that is another step removed from Nizirut. And then the question is, does that sufficient to allow you to create the Neder Nizirut? Beit Shammai says yes, kinuye kinuyim are efficacious in doing such, whereas Beit Hillel says it's not. So that's another way to explain their machloket. A number of different ways to explain their machloket. But in the end, the machloket really revolves around how much of the statement do we say is binding, or whether we say that the totality of the statement is taken into consideration, and therefore it's undermined by the differences or the problems that come up with the statement, or do we actually segregate the statement into meaningful parts and then drop the meaningless parts from the statement. The way that Chizkiah is presenting it right now is that Beit Shammai is subscribing to this idea of Tfos Lashon Rishon. And so, similarly in our Mishnah, when he says, Arei Alai Mincha, that's the first statement. Mina Seorim, we drop that part of his statement, and we say that the first part is binding, and he has to bring a Mincha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teima Beit Hillel. Rabbi Yochanan says the authors of our Mishnah, or the attribution of the Mishnah, can even be to Beit Hillel. Bomer, it's a case or a situation where he says, Ilei Teodea, Shein Nodrim Kach, Lo Eiti Noder Kach, Elekach. Had I known that that was the case, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said the alternative. So in the first case in the Mishnah where it says, Arei Alai Mincha Mina Seorim, and then we inform him that you can't bring a Mincha from Seorim, he says then, Had I known you couldn't bring a mincha from Sorim, I would have brought it from the Chitim, or I would have pledged to bring it from the Chitim. So if the meaning of Neder Pidcho Imo means that this is the way I wanted to bring it, and had I known that this wasn't possible, then I wouldn't have said it, then now he's basically undermined that position by saying that, had I known it was this case, I would have said this and not this, and not that I didn't want to take a Neder had I known this information. So he's basically taking away that out that he had. That's one way to learn it. Or according to the one who says Neder Pidcho Imo means that he immediately has karata on what he said before. So over here, you would have to explain that he made a mistake. He's expressing the fact that it wasn't a reversal of his previous position, but rather it was a mistake that he had made, because had he known it was otherwise, he would have taken the nether anyway and would have taken it in the proper manner. And so we see that as a reversal of the minasorim part of it, and basically an indication of the intent of his nether was to bring a mincha. Minasorim was just accidental, or something that he didn't realize, or information that he didn't realize about it. And he's willing to alter or amend the statement in order to have it be that he is pledged to bring such a mincha. And once he says that, we say to him, you got to bring the mincha properly. If he after that decides that he doesn't want to bring it, then we say, you already pledged over here. You said that the meaning of your statement was that you wanted to bring a mincha and a mincha mechitim. That's a binding emendation to your statement. And then you're going to have to bring the proper mincha as you articulated in your reversal. Amar Chizkia, lo shanu el adamar mincha min esorim, valamar mincha min adashim lo. What Chizkia says is that the Mishnah is particular in the example that it gave, which is that the person who says, I'm bringing a mincha min haseorim, that's where we say he's bound and he has to bring a mincha min echitim. But if he uses something that's so far afield, like he says, I'm going to bring a mincha from lentils, that is a meaningless statement completely. Michte. Chizkiah keman amar lishmate. Wait a minute. Chizkiah's statement here is according to whom? He already established that the Mishnah is kebeit Shammai. And according to Beit Shammai, mishum tfos lashon rishonu. The reason that Beit Shammai says you're bound over here is because we apply or we assume that your first statement is the binding statement. And therefore you said, hare alay mincha. Minasorim is a meaningless statement in that context because you already said, hare alay mincha. So why does it make a difference whether you ended with minasorim or you ended with minadashim? Either way, if you say tfos lashon rishon, you said arei mincha. Mali minasorim, mali minadashim. Why does it matter if it's barley? Why does it matter if it's lentils? Where it says, hadar bay. He backed away from that position. So he reversed his original statement in the Gemara that the Mishnah is like Beit Shammai. And now he is saying that it is like Beit Hillel. Umay time hadar bay. Why did he back out of his position? Amarava matniten kashite. The Mishnah presented a problem for explaining it according to Beit Shammai. My area to the Tani, mincha minasorim, exactly what we were just discussing within his position is, why did the Mishnah pick the case of harei alai mincha min hasorim, litne min adashim? The example brought in the Mishnah should be even a case where he says, harei alai mincha min adashim, elashma minah, mishum detoyhu. It's clear here that there was a mistake made, and that is similar to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said that they made a mistake. He thought you could bring a mincha from Seorim, and since he thought you could bring it from Seorim, that's what he pledged to do. When he finds out you can't bring it from Seorim, he says, had I known that, I would have brought it from the Chitim. You can explain then why the Mishnah particularly used Seorim and not Adashim. B'Seorim Ta'i, people make mistakes with regards to Seorim. Seorim is relevant by Menachot, because there are Menachot that come from a Seorim. There's Minchat Sota, there's Minchat Omer. He just didn't know that you couldn't privately or voluntarily offer such a mincha. Badashim lo toi. Nobody makes a mistake when it comes to lentils. Nobody thinks that menachot come from lentils. Therefore, if he pledged it with lentils, we basically say, neder upitcho imo. He took a neder, but the petach, the thing that undermines that neder, is adjacent to it, is with it, because when he said minadashim, either that's a reversal of his position that he wanted to bring a mincha, or basically his whole statement is a meaningless statement because of the fact that he added in adashim, which aren't relevant by the case of a mincha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu min adashim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Chizkiah and says, even if he says, arei alai mincha min ha-adashim, he still has to bring a mincha. Michte, Rabbi Yochanan keman amra lishmate. Wait a minute. Rabbi Yochanan established that the Mishnah could be even according to Beit Hillel. He holds that the Mishnah is following the position of Beit Hillel. B'tel mishum detoyu. And the reason Beit Hillel says that when you say arei alai mincha min esorim, you have to bring it min ha-chitim is because he made a mistake. And he articulates that, had I known that that was the case, I would have not said that, I would have said this. So then, Bisorim toi, Badashim lo toi. People make mistakes with regards to Sorim being relevant by Menachot. Nobody makes a mistake with regards to lentils being relevant by a mincha. Mar says, L'dvarav d'chizkiyah ka'amar le'i. He's saying this in the position of Chizkiyah. At my time ahadart b'cha. Why did you back away from saying that the Mishnah is authored by Beit Shammai or attributed to Beit Shammai? Shum lo k'tani min adashim. Because the Mishnah only says min ha-sorim and not min adashim. And for Beit Shammai it should make no difference whether you said min ha-sorim, min adashim. It would have been a bigger chiddush to tell us min adashim. So he says, Dilma. Lo mi boyi kamar. Maybe the reason the Mishnah used the term seorim is because of a structural way to present information, which is lo mi boyi kamar. I don't have to tell you this, which is lo mi boyi min hadashim. I don't need to tell you about lentils. Because there it's clear that he's trying to reverse his position. And whatever he said first is binding and he can't back away, he can't walk away from it. By seorim, where you can say maybe he's not trying to reverse his position, but literally he made a mistake, he did this mistakenly. Even despite that fact, we still say tfos lashon rishon. So there's actually a bigger chiddush in telling us about se'orim than about adashim. By adashim, it's obvious that he's trying to reverse his position, which Beit Shammai does not allow for any number of reasons that we spoke out from the Balei HaTosafot. But based on what we said here, tfos lashon rishon, the first statement is binding. If that's the case, and when you say min hadashim, it's clear there that you're trying to reverse it, and that doesn't work. But min hasorim, where you could really see that he may have made a mistake, and he's not really trying to reverse his previous statement, in that situation, maybe we wouldn't say tfos lashon rishon. That's why the Mishnah brings the case of min hasorim, to tell you, even in that case, Beit Shammai says min hasorim. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Chizkiyah's reason for backing away from his position isn't a good reason. And then he's saying, according to you, Chizkiyah, there should be no distinction between Adashim and Se'orim, because you explained the Mishnah according to Beit Shammai. You wanted to walk away from saying that. I say you don't have to. Your position can still stand with regards to Beit Shammai. The reason Se'orim are mentioned is because they're a bigger Chiddush than Adashim. Amar Ze'iri, lo shano el damar mincha. Avalo amar mincha, lo. It's only true in the previous Mishnah, he used the terminology mincha. He did not use the terminology mincha. That is not the case. Rashi over here brings two lishonot. The Balei Tosafot also note that, which is, doesn't mean, and that's the simple way you would have read the Gemara, that he doesn't mention the word mincha at all. If he says, Hare alai mincha min ha-se'orim, which is the case in our Mishnah, then he's bound to bring a mincha, because he already said, Hare alai mincha, and we dropped the min ha-se'orim. But if he says, just simply, Hare alai min ha-se'orim, and he leaves out the word mincha, over there you can't say that he really meant the pledge of mincha, and then he's trying to back out of it when he says min ha-se'orim, because he never made a pledge to bring a mincha. His statement incorporated basically bringing of the se'orim. The se'orim are a mainstay of what he is saying, and in that case, it really undermines the totality of his statement. But you don't have this tfos lashon rishon. You don't have this idea that he already committed and is trying to back out of it, because he never mentioned the word mincha. So that's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it is that it's a difference between mincha, which would be a noun, versus minchat, which is a nismach in Hebrew, which means that it's going to be a noun phrase. And if you say Hare alai mincha min ha-se'orim, then the Hare alai mincha can stand independently, and then min ha-se'orim is a qualifier of that statement. So in that case, you can say he meant to say mincha, and he was backing out of it when he said min ha-se'orim. And we don't accept his reversal, tfos lashon rishon, and we say that the mincha, he's bound to bring the mincha. The other hand, if he says, Hare alai minchat se'orim. So when he says minchat se'orim, that's a nismach. And by definition, the word minchat then is not standalone. Minchat requires the remainder of the noun phrase to be brought in. And that means minchat se'orim are a singular term. And they're not separable. And so in this case, when he says, Hare alai minchat se'orim, in that case, you can't say that he has to bring a mincha and the min ha-se'orim is a reversal, because the word minchat implies that there's something else associated with it right away. And that is the se'orim. And since they're inseparable, then the statement of minchat se'orim makes it that he doesn't have to bring anything. It's not a proper statement or articulation that can mechayev you in a mincha. So you could learn in one of those two ways what's being said here as to whether the word mincha appears or doesn't appear. Does it mean mincha versus nothing? Or does it mean mincha versus minchat? And the Pashtut HaDvarim, and the way that Rashi explains it, this seems to be modifying that position of Chizkiyah and Beit Shammai, which is that if we say Tfos Lashon Rishon, you need a Lashon Rishon, which is complete, in order to have him be obligated, and that's why you need the word Mincha in there. Although, on the Rambam, it sounds like he thinks that this modification is a modification of Rabbi Yochanan's position in Beit Hillel, and that we can only say, Ilo Hayiti Yodea, had I known this, Lo Amarti Kach Ela Kach, I would have said this and not that. That's only true when he has some sort of statement or whole statement upon which to say that he would have indicated otherwise. But if his whole statement is the incorrect item, then he can't say, had I known this, I would have changed it to this, because that undermines the entirety of his statement. And therefore, the Rambam seemingly thinks that this modification or qualification is in the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan in Beit Hillel as to what you can reverse, or what at minimum you need in order to say that I meant something else in the nether. Yotiv Rav Nachman, Bekamala Lahashmaitata. Rav Nachman was sitting and said over this memra. Eitve Rova, the Rav Nachman, so his Talmud Rova, as Rav Nachman, Kemach. When it says in the Mishnah that if he pledges to bring kemach, then he brings a mincha from solet, which is the proper way to bring a mincha. Lav dolo amar mincha. Isn't the case there where he didn't say mincha? If you look at the Mishnah, it starts out with hare alai mincha, mina seorim yavi minachitim. After that it just says kemach yavi solet. Doesn't mention the word mincha. So you could view this in one of two ways. You can view it as being different than the first case. The first case, hare alai mincha mina seorim, and then we say that he didn't mean min sechal min esorim, he really brings min achitim. Then there's the next statement of kemach. Is the kemach modified by the harei alai mincha? And harei alai mincha, to begin the Mishnah, is attributable to all the statements afterwards. So that's as if he said harei alai mincha min esorim, harei alai mincha min hakemach, and so on and so forth through the Mishnah. Or do we say that harei alai mincha is only associated with the first case in the Mishnah, harei alai mincha min esorim? But after that, when it says kemach, it means kemach without the word mincha. So that's what Rav is asking. Rav is basically questioning this idea that you have to say the word mincha, because the word kemach, yavi solek, appears in the Mishnah without any harei alai mincha. Lav delo amar mincha. Isn't that a case where he didn't say mincha? Lo, damar mincha. That he said the word mincha, or in essence, the harei alai mincha is modifying that as well. The Rav says, below shem and uvelevona. The next case in the Mishnah is that he's going to bring a mincha without shemen and levona. Again, he doesn't mention the word mincha over there. Yavid shemen ulevona. There he has to bring the shemen and levona, even though he said he didn't want to bring it. My lav delo amar mincha. Again, there in the Mishnah, the word mincha doesn't appear when he says below shemen or below levona. Lo, damar mincha, that he said again the word mincha, or, in essence, hare alai mincha. In the beginning of the Mishnah modifies that as well. Chatzi saron, yavi saron shalem. The next case in the Mishnah where he pledges to bring a chatzi saron, and then he has to bring an Isaron Shalem. My lav, delo amar mincha. Once again, isn't it a case, and in the Mishnah there's no word mincha appears over there, so maybe that's a case where he didn't say mincha. Amar says, lo, damar mincha. Or in essence, what we're saying is the halarei alai mincha at the beginning of the Mishnah is then modified by each of the other statements afterwards. It's harei alai mincha min esorim. Harei alai mincha mina kemach. Harei alai mincha b'li shemen u'b'li levona. Or harei alai mincha shel chatzi Isaron. So all of those are statements with the word mincha in it because of that opening phrase in the Mishnah. You can't prove anything against the Iri's position. All right, the Gemara says, Iyachi Eima Seifa. Then if that's the case, what are you going to do with the latter case in the Mishnah? Isaron Amechsav, he says 1.5 Isaron. Yavishnaim, he has to bring 2. Kevin Damar Mincha, Ichayev Levi Isaron. When he says the word mincha, automatically is chayav an isaron. Ki amar chatzi isaron, lo klum kamar. Then if he says a chatzi isaron, it's as if it's not meaningful at all. Because the harei alai mincha is associated with the isaron. And so then it's equivalent of saying harei alai mincha of an isaron, and then chatzi isaron. The chatzi isaron is a meaningless statement because it doesn't have the word mincha associated with it. After what is a meaningful statement. If you just said he said harei alai isaron v'chatzi, then you have a unit of isaron v'chatzi. And then you have to determine what he was saying. That's what the Baalei Tosafot will point out. And you can invoke the principle of Ila ha'iti yodea she'en norim kach, ha'iti noder kach. But if he said a real mincha, isaron or chetzi, the isaron is associated with the mincha, and then the chetzi is just left over, and you shouldn't have to bring it at all. So where it says, lo, tzricha, even though it says a real mincha, it's still true that he has to bring 2. Damar, a real mincha, chetzi isaron v'isaron. It just reversed the way that he articulated it. He didn't say a real mincha, isaron v'chetzi. Rather, he said, a real mincha, chetzi isaron v'isaron. The kevin damar mincha, Yichayev le b'yisaron. So when he says, Harei alai mincha, that automatically binds him to bring an yisaron worth. Ki amar chatzi yisaron, velo klub kamar. When he says the chatzi yisaron, it's meaningless. Ki hadar amar yisaron, then when he says yisaron again, maite yisaron akarina. He has to bring a second yisaron. And that's why he has to bring two esronot. When he says, Harei alai mincha, chatzi yisaron v'yisaron. And so we look at the Harei alai mincha and yisaron at the end as being two esronot, and half yisaron in the middle, we just drop entirely because it's a meaningless statement. So when he says the Harei alai mincha, and that then continues into the chatzi yisaron, the chatzi yisaron we view as being meaningless in the context, and therefore he said Harei alai mincha, the minimum mincha is an yisaron. Then afterwards, when he said yisaron, yisaron by itself is also a statement that has meaning, even when it's not adjoined to mincha, and therefore you have to bring a separate yisaron for that second statement of yisaron. If that's the case, Rabbi Shimon poter, Rabbi Shimon says in all the cases of the Mishnah, you're patur, because you didn't articulate the neder like a normal person would articulate a neder. Amai. Why is that the case? According to you now, when you say Harei alai mincha, why is that a problem? Harei alai mincha is normal, and it's a normal way to articulate it. Why wouldn't we say, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're bound by this? As Rashi explains over here, if you're subscribing to Tefos Lashon Vishon, that means that all we look at over here is the Harei alai mincha. And if you have mincha in there, Harei alai mincha is a statement that is kederach ha-mitnadvim. And if that's the case, you should be bound by that statement. Versus, if you had said that the whole Mishnah is speaking about even when there's no word mincha there, then it would make sense that Rabbi Shimon says it's lo kederach ha-mitnadvim because you left out the word mincha entirely. Samarova. Rabbi Shimon b'shita Rabbi Yossi amra. Rabbi Shimon's statement is not just that kederach ha-mitnadvim, that we look at it the way that people normally articulate things, but we also look at it through the prism of Rabbi Yossi, who says the amar af b'gmar d'rav adam nitpas, that a person is held accountable, or we bind a person by not only the first part of his statement, but the entirety of his statement. And the entirety of his statement includes both things that are meaningful and things that are meaningless. And since if you look at the totality of the statement, that's not a normal way to express it, then it invalidates the entire statement. So when he says, Harei alai mincha, which according to Rabbi Shimon should have been a fine statement and should have bound him, then why don't we say that Rabbi Shimon agrees? That's because he subscribes to Rabbi Yossi that says we have to look at your total statement. And your total statement over here was Harei alai mincha, minachetzi yisaron, in a yisaron. And in that case, the minachetzi yisaron is a meaningless or invalid statement. Therefore, the neder falls apart entirely, according to Rabbi Shimon. The Balei Tosafot don't love that explanation of Rashi, because based on Chizkiah's approach to the Mishnah, which is that the Rabbanon are holding like Beit Shammai, it makes it sound like Rabbi Shimon is holding like Beit Hillel. And Beit Hillel doesn't have this concept of Tfos Lashon Rishon. The Tosafot gives one answer, that we already concluded that Chizkiah backed away from that position, and therefore maybe everybody holds of Tfos Lashon Rishon, and there's a different reason for the machloki between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Or you can say that this statement in the end of the Gemara is uniquely associated with what we've just emended the last part of the Mishnah to say, which is Harei alai mincha chatzi yisaron v'yisaron. Because in that statement, had it been yisaron v'chatzi yisaron, then you would have said that's ein kederach ha-mitnadvim. That's not a normal way to formulate something. But when you change the order to say Harei alai mincha chatzi yisaron v'yisaron, it makes it sound like it's not one unit called a yisaron v'chatzi, rather two separate units. And then at least you should have to bring at least one yisaron, because the yisaron that you said at the end is normal. And for that reason, then even according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be a full-fledged neder. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that Rabbi Shimon is subscribing to Rabbi Yossi as well. And that means that we look at the totality of his statement. We can't break it down and to say it's a chatz yisaron and yisaron. It's really, even if you say chatz yisaron v'yisaron, it's the same as saying yisaron v'chetzi. And we bind everything together. And that statement is not a statement that is kederach ha-mitnadvim. All right, next Mishnah. Mitnadev adam mincha shel shishim yisaron, umevi b'kli achad. A person can pledge to bring a mincha that is 60 yisaron, and he can bring them in a single kli. Im amar harei alai samach aleph, shishim ve'achad. He says, I'm going to bring 61 yisaron, umevi shishim b'kli achad, ve'achad b'kli acher. Then he has to divide them up. He brings 60 in one kli, and he brings one in the second kli, because the maximum amount that you can put into a kli for a mincha is 60 yisaron. Shukain, what is the reason that that is true? Hatzibur mevi biyom tov rishon shel chag, chaliot b'shabbat, If the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, then on that day, for all the korbanot they have to bring for the day, shishim ve'echat. You bring 61 isaron worth of nisachim and minchat nisachim. Dayo, the yachid, she pachot min tzibor echad. And it's enough that the yachid should be one step below the tzibor. So the maximum amount that tzibor can bring is 61. Then a yachid should be capped out at 60. And that's explanation for the limit of 60 isaron in a single kli. Now, the calculation of how do you get to 60 isaron has to do with the korbanei musaf and the tmidim that are brought on the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbat. So first of all, the two tmidim that you bring are two kvasim. And on Shabbat, you bring from Musvei Shabbat, two kvasim. So that's a total of four kvasim, and each keves comes with an isaron. So that is four isaron between the tmidim and the musafim of Shabbat. Now with regards to the nisachim, or the minchat nisachim that's associated with the korbanei musaf of Sukkot, on the first day of Sukkot, we know that in each day of Sukkot the korbanot change, at least with regards to the parim, but the musaf on the first day is 13 parim, two elim, and 14 kvasim, 13 parim, each par comes with 3 isaron. 13 times 3 is 39 isaron. The 2 elim that you bring require 2 isaron each. 2 times 2 is 4. 39 and 4 is 43. And then you have 14 kvasim that are the last part of the musaf of Sukkot. 14, and each keves comes with 1 isaron. That's 14. So that's 43 plus 14 is 57. And we already calculated there were 4 for the tmidim and the musafim of Shabbat. That's a total of 61 isaron that come on the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbat. That's the maximum amount of isaron that can be brought in the Mikdash on a single day. And therefore, it caps out the yachid at 60 isaron. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, there's an obvious deficit in the logic here, which is, hello, elu leparim, ve'elu lekvasim, ve'ena nivlalim. Wait a minute. These nisachim are separate units. It's not a single korban or a single minchat nisachim that you're bringing over here. It is a combination of individual menachot nisachim. And you have the parim, you have the kvasim, you have the elim, the einam niblalim zeim zeh. And you're not allowed to mix them together, as we already learned earlier in the Masechta. At least with regards to parim elim versus kvasim, you can't mix them because the parim and elim have a ratio of 3 isaron to 6 log shemen for the par, and for the ayo it is 2 isaron to 4 log shemen, again, which are a multiplier of 2, 2 times the amount of shemen than the solet, whereas a keves comes with a single isaron, but it has 3 log shemen, so it's a 3 to 1 ratio, and that is that the blila of the minchat nisachim of the keves is a blila raka, whereas the blila of the parim and elim are a blila ava. You have a thicker mincha for the parim and the elim versus the thinner or more liquidy mincha of the kvasim. And we said earlier in the Mishnayot that you're not allowed to mix those together. So now you're telling me the maximum amount that's brought on the tzibur on a single day is 61, but the 61 are all separate menachot. They don't get mixed together. Ela, ad shishim yucholim livalel. Rabbi Shimon says this is the reason. Up to 60 you can mix in a single kli with the oil. Now, Rashi over here makes a statement which is not simple, which is that he says this is according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov already said earlier in the Mishnayot, back on Daf Pechet, that any mincha that comes from 1 isaron to 60 isaron only gets 1 log shemen. That's what Rashi says over here, is Rabbi Shimon's telling you, up to 60 isaron of flour mix well with 1 log shemen. But after that point in time, a single log shemen will not suffice to mix all that flour together with the shemen. That's how Rashi reads it over here. But as the Masorah Hashatz already points out, that Rashi, earlier on in the Masechta, back on Daf Yud Chet, says that this is even according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan believe for every isaron, you bring a log shemen. So if you have 60 isaron, you're going to bring 60 log. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you have 60 isaron, you're bringing 1 log. So according to him, we understand why the mixing or the size of the ratio of flour to the log shemen is important in terms of the mixing. But even according to the Rabbanan, who say that every isaron comes with a log shemen, nevertheless, Rashi said earlier in the Masechta that the Rabbanan Kimlahu, they have either a Mesorah or they checked into the matter, and we know that even 60 isaron with 60 log, they can mix well together. Once you exceed that level and move on to 61, it doesn't mix well. To that, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, is that really true? Amar lo, shishim nivlalim, v'shishim v'echad ein nivlalim. 60 does mix well. 61 doesn't mix well. There's some big threshold between 60 and 61. Amar lehem, kol midot chachamim, kein. You have to have a threshold somewhere. You have to have a cutoff somewhere. So just like be'arba'im sa'ah hu tovel, if you have a mikveh that has 40 sa'ah, which makes it into a kosher mikveh, you can go into that mikveh and become tahor. B'charba'im sa'ah chaser kortov. But if you have 40 sa'ah missing a small amount, like a kortov, which is 1/64th of a log, or in essence a very small amount, vis-a-vis 40 sa'ah of water in the mikveh, enu yochol litvol bem. You can't go to the mikveh there. It's not a kosher mikveh. You're going to tell me there's a difference between 40 sa'ah and a little less than 40 sa'ah? The answer is, that's the threshold that the Chachamim said. That 40 sa'ah is the minimum amount of water that you need to fill that cubic area that is defined as a mikveh that would allow the waters to cover the entirety of an adam. And so, you're telling me that 40 sa'ah is such a important threshold that even a small amount below that's not going to count? The answer is yes. When you set up shi'urim, there has to be a cutoff. There has to be some sort of number that indicates where it is kasher and it's not kasher. And that number is binding, even though you're right, maybe a little bit over or a little bit less shouldn't be so different than the number itself. Nevertheless, there has to be a point at which the Chachamim say, this is it. This is where the cutoff is. And by mikveh, it's 40 sa'ah. And over here, it's shishim isaron. Sha'il she'la l'mala mirab Yehuda. Amala here means the equivalent lifnei. This was a question that was thrown out or brought up in front of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is stam Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Minayin lomer, harei alai shishim ve'achad, mivi shishim b'kli achad, ve'achad b'kli acher. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai why it is that their maximum amount that you can bring in a kli achad is shishim isaron. So potach Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai opens up to give a response. Rosh amidabrim b'chol makom. He's the first speaker in all situations. Rashi over here references you to the Gemara in Bamei Madlikim, which is the story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the cave. But that all starts out because of a discussion between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether the Roman civil engineering and public works were something that should be praised, or was it something that was negative? So Rabbi Yehuda says, look at all the good things the Romans do. They build bridges, they make roads, they open up marketplaces. So they do all of these public works where we are the beneficiaries of, and we should be thankful for them. We may not like them. We may not like their religious persecution, but at least with regards to their public works, they do something that is beneficial to us. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai responds to Rabbi Yehuda and says, that's not true. They only build roads so they can collect tolls. They only build marketplaces so they can get things for their avodah zarah, so they can facilitate having zonot in the marketplace. And they open up bathhouses to enjoy themselves and to pleasure themselves, not because they're doing this for the benefit of the public at large. So the Roman government got wind of this, and that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has to run away to the cave, because the Romans are running after him to kill him for what he said. And the Romans, as a reward for Rabbi Yehuda's being supportive of the government, they instituted that he is Rosh Shemidabrim B'chol Makom. Anytime there's a gathering of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai gets to speak first. And that's what's referenced to over here, Rosh Shemidabrim B'chol Makom. V'amar, Shekein Matzinu Tzibur, Mivin B'yom Tavishon Shechag, Shechaliyot B'Shabbat, Shishim V'achad. So again, he brings the logic that's dictated in our Mishnah. So we know now that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So because the largest number of Menachot Nisachim that are brought in the Mikdash on a single day are 61 Isaron, and that's on first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbat. And Dayol Yachid, Sheifchot Min HaTzibur Echad. And the Yachid should be at least a step down from the Tzibur. And since the Tzibur's maximum is 61, his maximum should be 60. Amalei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says to him, "Hello, elu parim ve'lim ve'lu kvasim." So a little different than the Girsan our Mishnah, but understandably so, which is that here he says, aren't some of them parim and elim, and some of them are kvasim? Parim and elim have the same ratio of oil and flour, whereas kvasim have something different. And as we saw in the Mishnah earlier, that's the main contrast about what you're allowed to or not allowed to mix, is between parim elim on one side and kvasim on the other side. Are you allowed to mix them? Can you mix them lechatchila or b'diavad? If they get mixed, what is the story? We learned that in the Mishnayot earlier, but that's what Rabbi Shimon's pointing out. We're speaking about parim elim and kvasim. We're speaking about separate entities that add up to that number of isaron, but they're not bringing a single mincha that is made out of all those isaronot, because elu b'lilatam ava, those have a thicker mixture. which are the parim and elim, which have a 2-to-1 ratio of solid to oil. Elu b'liatan raka. On the other hand, the vasim have a mincha that's made up of a 3-to-1 ratio, 3 oil to 1 part solid, and their blila, their mixing is thinner. Elu b'liatan shacharit, ve'elu b'liatan ben arbaim. And besides that, some of the korbanot are brought in the morning, some of them are brought in the afternoon. Ve'nivlalim mizeh azeh. And they don't get mixed together, or they're not all joined together. So I'm not sure why this is a proof to what you're looking for. So amrulo and morata. So they said to him, Rabbi Shimon, okay, you criticized what Rabbi Yehuda had to say, but what exactly are you going to say? What's your reasoning? Amar lehem, he says to them, Ari Omer, v'chol mincha blula b'shemen, v'chareva. It says all minachot that are mixed with shemen, and chavira that are dry. Kvar amra Torah, have mincha, shichola li balel. Bring a mincha that can be mixed, where the oil and the flour can be mixed together. Amalei b'shishim nivlalim, b'shishim v'achad ein nivlalim. So similar to our Mishnah, they asked him, wait a minute, 60 Yisaron can be mixed, 61 Yisaron can't be mixed. Amar lahem, he says back to them, kol midat chachamim keinu. Any one of the shiurim of the chachamim are like that. You could say there's some sort of arbitrary cutoff. We know, bigadol, in general, we understand conceptually why something has a shiur, but the exactitude of the shiur seems to be something that is arbitrary. He says, but that's true by any shiur of the Chachamim, that Karbim Sa'a Utovel, you can go into mikveh that has 40 Sa'a, Barbim Sa'a Chaser Kotov, of any Yucholidbo. But if he goes into a mikveh that has 40 Sa'a mixing a small amount like a Kortov, you can't do go to the mikveh. Beitza mitamei tumat ochlim. If you have a full Beitza, then that can convey tumat ochlim. Ke Beitza Chaser Shum Shum. If you have a Beitza that is missing even like a sesame seed worth, it doesn't convey tuma because it's below the shear of a beitza. Shlosha, shlosha mitamei midras. 3x3 tfachim is the minimum shear to be mikabel tumat midras. Shlosha, shlosha, chasar nimachat. If you have a 3x3 piece of cloth that is missing even one thread, enu mitamei midras, then it's not subject to tumat midras. So anytime you have a shear, even though there's some minute deviation from the shear, we say it's not good anymore. You telling me that one string missing makes a difference? A little bit of water missing from the mikveh makes a difference? The answer is no. But we have to come up with a threshold. We have to come up with a shiur. Once the chachamim give a shiur, that's the cutoff. Whatever that threshold is, one side of that shiur is good and the other side of the shiur is no good. And again, even though we can understand generally why you would have such a shiur, the exactitude of the shiur isn't something whereby you could really say that a little deviation this way or that way makes a difference. But in the end, the chachamim have to put a line in the sand, and that's the same thing over here. Maybe there is not much difference between 60 and 61, but they had to cut it off somewhere, and 60 was the cutoff that they made. Or the possibility that the Ritva brings that it's a low plug. We try to give a shiur that incorporates or captures the majority, if not all, of the items that would be under this shiur. So we want to give one single shiur that'll capture all the mikvaot. So we use 40 sa'ah because that will, on the rove, or even all the time, make sure that the mikveh has sufficient. We're not going to go and measure every single mikveh and check every single situation out to see what exactly the difference is between them, and therefore set a shiur based on that, because that's ein l'davar sof. We try to give a single shiur that is a low plug type of shiur. Seemingly says that it isn't any exact shiur. It's just a way to capture the most situations and have it that there's no differentiation between each situation. That's actually one of the more radical ways to explain it, because that detaches it much more from the Misora than the other views that say either it was a Misora that the Chachamim had, or the Chachamim were empowered to set a shiur based on the information about why the shiur is being brought. Where it says, V'chi ein nivlalim, my hobby. The whole premise of Rabbi Shimon's position is that up to 60 you can mix the oil and the flour well. After that point, you can't mix them. So the Gemara says, why does it make a difference whether they can be mixed or they can't be mixed? Vatanan. We have a Mishnah earlier on in the Masechta, Imlo Balal Kasher. Even if you don't mix the Mincha, it is Kasher. I'm Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera says over here, it's a very famous position of Rabbi Zera that's used all over Shas. Kolaroi the Bila, Ein Bila Me'akevet Bo. If you could do Blila, then Blila is not Me'akev. So if you have the capacity to do the mixing, and it's possible to do the mixing, even if you don't do the mixing, then it's not ma'akev. On the other hand, v'chosha enro with a bila, bila ma'akevet bo. If it's impossible to mix it, then when you don't mix it, it's problematic. And so too over here, up to 60 saron, it's possible to mix it. Even if you don't mix it or you don't do it so properly or so well, nevertheless, it's considered as if mixed and it's not makev the mincha. On the other hand, if you bring 61 Yisaron, where it's not possible to mix it together, no matter how hard you try, it's not going to really mix it together. So in that situation, the lack of mixing is me'akev, or does block your ability to bring such a mincha. The mincha is psula. The Baalei Tosfot over here reference you back to Daf Yudchet, where they discuss this issue of bila. As Tosfot says, back on Yudchet Amud Bet, Im Tomar Minolei Rabbi Zeraha. How does he know this? Says Veshema Kimlei Delok Tivei Kuba Bebelila. Maybe it comes out of the fact that there is no ikuv written by Belila, even though the word Belila appears numerous times. Nevertheless, because Delo Mishtamet Kra Lelichto Bishum Dokto Ubalalta Beshemen Belishon Tzivui never indicates that you have to do Belila as an active verb in the Torah, because the Torah never gives a command to be Bolel. Anytime it's mentioned as a result of what happened, which is you have to have a mincha blula b'shemen, a mincha that is mixed in oil, but not that you have to mix the oil into the mincha. So the word's always used as a either description or a passive verb, which is that it's balul or blula b'shemen, but it never says that you have to be balal. And for that reason, then there's no requirement, there's no equal with regards to blula, even though it's written numerous times, although the Rashba indicates that the reason is because the word blila is never duplicated in a single section or single mincha. Over multiple benachot it is duplicated, but it's not in a single mincha that has written twice. Therefore, it's not me'akev. But then he says, if that's the case, yim tomar minalei to the bai ro'oi the bila. Why do we need to ro'oi the bila achar the bila lo me'akva? Eshlamar disvoro ba'almo. It's a logical argument. The kevin dichtiv rachmana bila, did he buy the whole pot ro'oi the bila? You have to give some meaning or ascribe some significance to the fact that the Torah uses the word blula or bila by all these cases. And that's to tell you that it's a mitzvah, first of all, to do the bila. And the fact that it should be at least ra'ur the bila in order to be kasher. Amar Rabbi Bibi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ma'ase bepreda, there was an incident with a mule, Shobet Rabbi, Shemeta, that died. Vishi'aru chachamim et dama birivit. The chachamim went to check out how much blood had emanated from this mule. If it was up to a revit dam, because if it was up to that level, it would have brought tuma or be problematic with regards to tuma. Now this statement of the Gemara seems to be a complete non sequitur. So both Rashi and Tosafot are trying to deal with what is the transition here, or why is this Gemara brought over here? Rashi simply says the reason it's brought over here is because just before we dealt with Shi'urim and Midat Chachamim, so too the upcoming Gemara is going to deal with Shi'urim of the Chachamim, or things that are binding in terms of Shi'urim of the Chachamim, even though they don't necessarily seem intuitive. That's the connection between the two cases. Baalei Tosfot bring a different reason, which is that one of the main characters in both these situations is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai played a major role in one of the discussion we saw in the Braita that we just brought before, in the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. At the end of this Gemara is also going to have Rabbi Yehuda be a main player in this sugyam. That's the connection between them. So Rashi sees it as being a thematic connection, Shiurim. As Tosfot brings the possibility that it's also a connection because of the Bala Memra, or the main character in both of these situations. So, Meitei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, we have a Mishnah in Idiot that says, Heid Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira, Adam Nevelot, Shehu Tahor. Adam of a Nevela is Tahor. So in this situation, you're dealing with a mule that died. A mule that dies is a Nevela. And now the Chachamim are coming and measuring the blood. Why does measuring the blood have any relevance? You have here a Mishnah in Idiot that tells you that blood of a Nevela is Tahor. V'amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira, Ma'aseh, v'ayu nocharim arodiyot le'arayot bistaria shalmelech. There was an incident in Yerushalayim in which they were piercing, stabbing wild donkeys to feed to the lions. Bistaria shalmelech, bistaria, which is either another word for stadium, area where they had these games or entertainment, or bistaria can be like in the main thoroughfare of the king. And the Olei Regalim were up to their knees in blood because they had so much blood from all the donkeys that had to be killed to feed the lions for the king. Again, this is in Yerushalayim. And the Olei Regalim are passing through this blood on their way up to Yerushalayim to come to the Regel, which if the dam was Tamei, it would have made them all tmeim, and they wouldn't have been able to come up to the regal and bring their korbanot. And yet, velo amru lahem davar. The chachamim never said anything to them. Ishtik, he was silenced. Meaning that Rabbi, who brought in the name of Rabbi Shum ben Levi about this incident in Beit Rabbi, was now silenced by this question of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Bisna. Amalei Rav Zvika, my time alokim ha'adar mar. Why don't you answer him? Why don't you respond to him? Amalei, hechi ha'adarle. How can I answer him? Now he's going to give a reason that's totally exogenous. It has nothing to do with the argument between them, but something about him personally, which is the Amar of Yichanin. Yichanin says that the Tochacha that speaks about curses says, "Vayu chayecha tvuim lechami neged. Your life will be hanging in the balance. Zelo keach tvua mishana l'shana." This is someone who does not have their own fields to grow their own wheat, but they buy their wheat year to year. So they buy a whole supply of wheat at the beginning of the year, and they have it for the whole year. So this is someone who buys every year. Problem is that maybe next year, either you won't have sufficient funds to buy it, or if there's a shortage of wheat out there, then all the people who grow wheat are going to keep it for themselves. They're not going to sell any of the excess into the market, and you won't be able to buy any. So that's a risky, quote-unquote, type of lifestyle that you're buying your wheat from year to year. But still, you at least have a year's supply that gives you a little bit of time to be comfortable. But it is risky, and that's what it means, that your life is hanging in the balance. Upachadata laila biyomam. This is a more extreme form of fear. You'll be fearful day and night. Zelokeach tvuam erev Shabbat, erev Shabbat. That's someone who buys wheat or buys their supplies week to week. Because again, there, every week you walk in, it's a risk that you won't have money to pay for it. There's a risk that there won't be supply to give to you. V'alte amein b'chayecha. And you will not believe that you can actually live or that you will successfully survive. That's someone who relies on the baker. Day to day, he goes in every day to the bakery to buy his food. So again, there, you're taking a huge risk. And the person doesn't know where his food's coming from for the next day. He might not have enough money to pay for it. Even if he has enough money, who says there's going to be something available for him to buy? Bau Gavra, which is either a reference back to Rabbi Bibi or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, speaking about himself, that they were unable to answer because of the fact that Al Paltar Samich, I rely on the baker. I buy my food from day to day. And therefore, as Rashi notes over here, he does not have Yishuv Adat. He doesn't have a clear mind. He can't think because, in essence, he lives in such poverty and that his day-to-day living is so risky because he just doesn't know if he's going to have food the next day. So he's never left with the Yishuv Adat that he can actually think when someone questions something he says. He doesn't have enough time and he doesn't have enough peace of mind to sit down and think through it and give an answer. He says, that's why I didn't answer him. Where it says, my havi'ala. So what's the din over here? Or in essence, what should have answered over here? So I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Moraina de Benesia Hava. Rav Yehuda, and Stam Rav Yehuda and Shas is Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai. So Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai was the posek for the Beit Nasi. Moraina is the More Hora'ah for the Beit Nasiya, for the house of the Nasi. The suggestion here is that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai was the posek for Rabbi in that time period. It's interesting because the Baal Tosafot go out of the way to say that it is possible. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai and Rabbi live in different generations. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai are all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's son, is a peer with Rabbi. And he interacts with Rabbi and with Rabbi's son as well. And so there is at least a half generation, if not a full generation, between them. Therefore, it seems a little bit questionable as to whether Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai could be the posek for Beit Rabbi. And that's what Tosafot goes out of his way to show, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai interact with Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi, who is the son of Rabbi. So certainly they were around in the time of Rabbi. And therefore, it's possible that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai was the Moreh Ra'af Rabbi in the Bein Nisiyah. Ve'orile kishmatei. And he paskin like himself, which is the Tnan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shishat Varim Mikulei Beit Shammai Muchumrei Beit Hillel. There are six things there. Beit Hillel is the Machmir, and Beit Shammai is the Mekil. Normally it's the other way around. The Beit Shammai is the Machmir, Beit Hillel is the Mekil. And over here, he paskins like Beit Hillel, but Beit Hillel the Chumrah, which is Dam Nevelot. When it comes to the blood of a Nevela, Beit Shammai mitaharim. Beit Shammai says it's totally tahor. Beit Hillel mitamim. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says the Dam of a Nevela is tamei. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, afka shetimu Beit Hillel, lo timu ela b'rivit. So Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says, even when Beit Hillel says that the Dam of a Nevela is mitamei, that's only true if you have a minimum of a rivit of Dam. The reason being, hol v'yachol likrosh, because it could coagulate and then it'll be the size of a kezayit. Or in essence, he's saying that it's no different than a basar nevela. The Ravid describes this as being a gzera or takanat chachamim, that once the blood can be coagulated up to a kezayit, then because it looks now like a kezayit basar nevela, there goes there tumah in that case. But not that there's inherent tumah here. But you could read it simply that the kezayit then matches it up to be like the basar nevela, which has tumah, and it turns into or converts into basar nevela because of that. And as Tosfot says, that mashma, the dam tamei, machmat, the choshiv kibasar, that the dam over here is tamei, is because it gets a classification like basar. And that's how he ends the Balei Tosfot. The pikach tzarich lomar, sheisham ribui. There must be some sort of ribui, the marbinim bei dam nevelot, that tells us that dam nevelot is tamei. And once we have such a riboy that brings the dam in to include it as part of basar nevela, makes sense that if you're speaking about it as a derivative of basar nevela, that it should have the same shiur as basar nevela, which means that a revi'it that can turn into a kezayit, which is the shminum shiur of basar. So according to the Balei Tosafot, it's clearly a din de oraita that the dam nevelot are mitameh, when they reach this threshold shiur, although again, the Ravid seems to indicate that it is only a din derabonon. The reason that in Beit Rabbi they were measuring how much dam is there is because dam up to a certain threshold is tahor, because dam inherently is not tamei tumat nevela. But on the other hand, if the dam can reach a point where it is the equivalent of a kezayit basar, then it has the same properties as the basar, and then it does have tumat nevela, because a revi'it of dam is equivalent when it coagulates and hardens to a kezayit of basar. And so therefore it takes on the tumat nevela like it is basar of the nevela, but that's at the threshold of revi'it, and that's why they were measuring at that point in time whether the mule that had died had a revi'it dam there, because if there was a revi'it dam, then the dam would have been mitameh. And obviously there were some issues with the dam or the mule coming into contact with items, and the question if they were mitameh them. And that's why they were measuring the quantity or the volume of blood that had come with that mule, whether to see it had a din of basar nevela and vitamei, or whether it had a din of dam nevela, which would be tahor. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph.